there we
Cool. Love the backdrop, man.
go.
It's like complete chaos, madness.
Yes.
Very cool, man. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate it too.
Well, you know what? You guys got a brand new album coming out. I'm gonna cover that first because, of course, I'm gonna talk to you about your playing and your gear and all that stuff that's really cool in that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the new album? The new album is called Dying of Everything. And is there a specific meaning behind that, or what's it? I mean, what's going on with this new album? Well, I'll just give you the floor.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say there's a meaning behind it, but we kind of, I don't know, maybe because of all this COVID stuff and the world we're in right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't really read into it too much. We're not like, we don't try to like have a concept, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It just sounds cool.
Oh, it does, man, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally. It just kind of came out that way, I guess.
So what can people expect, from the new album? I mean, you've been around the block, man. You've been doing this since the 80s, so what are
Getting
people
old.
expecting? What's that?
That's what I'm getting old hearing that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I started in the 80s too, so we're both old, I guess. That's a
Closes
great
the door real quick.
fucking picture. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's from a festival we finished in Holland one day. Right after we got off stage, they snapped that shot of us. We were all adrenaline down, I guess.
Yeah, oh,
But
yeah.
anyway, it's funny. But anyway, well, this new album, I mean, obviously it's solid obituary material, first and foremost. It's we approach everything the same way as far as how we attack songs and come up with ideas and create and stuff. And we don't try to change what we sound like. We don't try to come up with something different or new, like brand new, like where we're going to sound totally different or a different avenue or whatever. Because, I mean, people like what we do. And we like what we do. Why would you change it? So, but yeah, no, it's, I got to say though, I mean, obviously it's heavy as hell. It's all the material really groovy and catchy. We definitely had extra time to be able to create this album, obviously, because of COVID. But I mean, going back to the last album, which was 5 years ago, me myself, as far as guitar playing and writing, coming up with ideas, riffs and stuff, I don't try to force ideas. Because I notice if I try to force stuff, it doesn't seem as fun to me, or it doesn't. So this album completely, there was nothing forced as far as rhythms go, riff ideas. Like pretty much all the material on this, as far as guitar riffs go, is just by accident. Like one day I'd be, say, on tour, on a during sound check, getting my tone and setting everything up, and the monitors sound amazing or something, and all of a sudden, when they're wanting me to do a line check, a rhythm comes out of me, just out of nowhere by accident, just to make sound for the front of house, and I'll go, "Oh, that's pretty cool sounding," or Terry will go, "What was that?" And I'll go, "I don't know, I just made it up by accident." So I'll grab my phone and say, "Everybody, be quiet for a second," and I'll put my phone in front of my amp and hit record and record the rhythm real quick, and forget about it. Name it. Put the date and throw it in the box, so to speak. Let it sit there, and so all this stuff is really come up. All the rhythms that I came up with on this album were that way. You know, either whether it was at home or on tour or at practice, rehearsals, just not like, okay, I got to write something. It was never like that on this album, which is different, I guess you could say, because that happens too. It's happened in the past as well, but sometimes. A lot of times you try to write a song, like, okay, let's write some music, you know, and sit down, Donald and I, and hit record and just start playing around. this album, I don't think there was one rhythm that way. I think everything was kind of that way, where I had all these rhythms recorded on my phone and I went through them all. But then they would influence new rhythms too, though, because I would record them. Like, I'd go to the studio in Pro Tools, so I'd set up a session and just say, okay, I'm going to go pick through all these riffs and record them now onto the Pro Tools session to where they're all there in one session. And then when I was recording stuff, sometimes a rhythm would come out from another rhythm. Like, in other words, a riff would influence a brand new riff, so that would happen too. So then we went through and just cherry-picked all the best rhythms for this album,
right,
and made them into songs, you know? Sometimes, yeah. Al, when we were sitting there creating the song, like structuring stuff together, something new would come out, like a bridge or transitional part. So that would be added in on the fly, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing was forced. So I think this album seems so natural. Like, it seems like in fact, I was talking to a magazine the other day, a journalist, doing an interview, and he was like, man, I don't think there's one bad rhythm on this whole album. It's like every single rhythm is so catchy and hooky. And
yeah,
I'm like, it's funny because I kind of feel the same way when I listen to the whole album. I'm like, wow, this is freaking no filler. You know? It's freaking fun. I mean, it feels amazing. Like, I'm pretty proud of it, you know?
Yeah. So do you see yourself going forward then being conscious of that, you know, and looking for those moments to create? Because I know guys that their songs start with a guitar riff or a guitar rhythm, you know, and they'll have a catalog. I know guys that got catalogs of thousands of riffs and rhythms that they've done, and that's where they go back to. That's the well they go to. Do you see that being, you know, something that you consider doing or start doing going forward for the next, you know, things to come?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said before, I've done that before, but, you know, but then there was times, you know, like the last album before this album, the Obituary self-titled, there was songs that we sat down and created, but there was rhythms too that were cherry-picked too. But yeah, definitely, I like that, doing that, and that would be definitely something that I continue to do and more of, probably.
Yeah.
And try not to sit down and force anything, though, you know?
Yeah, it seems to never work out that way, you know. I mean, it seems to be difficult if you sit down and try and force it. But when you're doing it as a band, when you're writing material as a band, is it one of those things where everybody comes together? Is it just a couple of you? Is it, you know, what is it? And does everybody, like, you know, give their own opinion and put in their own touches, or, you know, or people that just do everything?
Yeah, well, as far as the basic backbone of a song, the structure and the whole thing, like, once I have these rhythms, like, Donald and I will get together and we'll, okay, now say, okay, I got these four or five progressions. I'm like, okay, this is going to be the backbone of a song. We'll open up another brand new Pro Tools session just for that. Everything's mic'd up, and Donald and I will get together, my percussionist, and we'll, okay, bounce off each other, like, what kind of tempo the drums should fit for that. Sometimes I have ideas already in my head, like, okay, this rhythm definitely needs this, you know. And in fact, on this album, there was a couple songs where I did use Drum Kit from Hell at home and put together structure ideas for a couple songs and go to the studio and bring it in, and then we'll hack it up some more and then maybe even change the ideas a little bit around. But yeah, Donald and I will sit down and structure the song together with drums and guitar and we'll get a piece of paper and write down, like, we'll name each riff A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll go through and kind of thinking that we kind of know where we're going to go sometimes automatically. And then we'll kind of write it down on paper, like, okay, here's kind of a structure. Let's record it, see how it feels. Or we'll just record all those different patterns. And then we'll, cause it's Pro Tools, so freaking easy, sit there and cut and paste and go back and forth and rearrange it to where, like, okay, that feels killer, and then maybe add a transitional part. Okay, what if between this, let's add this bridge or something, and I'll go back and he'll get on the drums and guitar, and we'll record that bridge and add it in a certain part. Or we even do it after the song. Let's do these bridge ideas and then go back and cut paste them into the song until we're like, okay. And this album, we did a lot of that, like a lot of structure changes, and like, until, like, okay, just keep molding it, you know what I mean? And kneading the dough, I guess you could say, to where we're like, okay, that dough is ready. It feels like a song. And then we'll make it, map it all out to where we're like, okay, that sounds like a song. And then we'll say, okay, John, here's a song. Boom. We'll give it to John for him to bounce his ideas off of it with his lyrical. And then, like, he'll even sit down, you know, maybe for a week or two or whatever it takes, a month, whoever knows, to where he'll go, okay, so I have these ideas for the song. Can we extend this part a little bit longer? Like, in other words, instead of doing four measures, can we do it six or eight or whatever?
Right.
And we'll cut and paste it again until we're like, okay. He goes, yeah, because I want to sing that part a little longer or whatever. So we'll do that, restructure that part or the parts that he wants to do until eventually we're like, okay, this is a spot probably for a lead. And then, you know, we'll have it already polished as much as we can. And then, like for Kenny, he'll come in and throw his leads down that he wants to do. I might do a couple dive bombs here and there, squeals. And then we're like, okay, there's a song. And then Terry comes in and he'll throw his bass down. But it's kind of usually how it works.
Yeah. And it seems, you know, most songs, regardless of what genre they're in, you know, have a structure. But sometimes, you know, it's nice, I think anyway, as a musician, to be able to, you know, get up on stage and just experiment and explore. And I understand how difficult that is in, let's say, the genre you're in, because, you know, you talk about structure. And although I just said, you know, music is pretty much structured across the board, when you dive into hard rock and metal and thrash, I mean, that music is like to the T, you know what I mean? It's like you can't go outside of the boundaries at all, or you know, you want to talk about fucking chaos, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because, you know, it's like a train ride. Once that song starts, you know where it's going, and that's how it is. There's no improv.
But do you ever wish, I mean, do you ever want, do you ever desire the ability to say, okay, let's just make something up right here and there? Or is that just not in your guys' DNA?
I mean, on stage, no. I mean, because we're so I guess you could say anal about, okay, this is a song, this is what we're going to do, these songs. I mean, we will discuss how an ending's going to be. It'll be different maybe than the album, just because we're going to hold it out or something, or do like a weird little fill and do at the end or the beginning, maybe do something a little holding something out differently. But once we're in the song, that song is mapped out the way we mapped it out, you know?
Yeah.
But like creating something, I mean, sometimes we will, like in the past, Donald and I will get together, smoke a joint in the studio though, and be like, okay, all right, here, just do a drum beat, man. Here we go. And we'll like try to create we'll get creative that way sometimes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love that. I really do. And I understand what you're saying, because, you know, once again, there's some bands that'll play the songs as they are live. And then there's some bands that'll give the audience a live experience where it's the song, but it's deviated in some fashion, you know.
Right.
Improv. But I understand in the style of music that you're doing how hard or damn near impossible it is to deviate that.
Yeah.
And with that, I got to ask you, as a rhythm guitar player, you know, what has been the process for you to train your picking hand? Because your picking hand has to be so fucking solid, you know what I mean, in order to
stay
within those structures. What have you done to train? Do you rehearse to a metronome or a click track or anything like that? Or is it just all natural? Or,
you know, no, I definitely don't rehearse to a click track or anything like that, or metronome. I've been playing it. I'm 53. I picked up a guitar probably 40 years ago. I don't know. Well, it took me a while to develop what I wanted it to be as a style, because we were kind of more thrashy originally, the band goes. And I mean, really, like when we created our band, Donald and I were friends. We barely could even play our instruments at the time. We were kind of learning how to play our instruments as we were making music at the same time, you know? It was pretty funny. Like, you know, and we knew what we liked musically as far as what we wanted to do, or at the time. And then finally, when we got to the style we are today, I mean, it kind of came natural. Like once I figured out, like even touching the neck is a certain, there's a certain thing going on here. Like, I mean, I have guitar techs pick up my guitar and play my song for sound check, and it doesn't sound like me. Like, they're like, I don't know how you do that. That's weird. It's, you're playing something in it on the same guitar, and I can't make it sound like you. So it's weird. It's, there's definitely things going on both hands. But rehearsal wise, I mean, I just, I don't know, kind of lock into the drums once we kick in, and I just know what the hands need to do. You know, I mean, I don't over rehearse. I never have. Like at home, I don't just sit around all the time noodling. So I don't know. It's kind of just there, I guess.
It's just natural. Well, that's good because, you know, the rhythms, you know, in that style of music are pretty intense. I mean, it's not easy. Like I've been playing guitar, you know, my whole life pretty much. You know, I've toured with national artists in that, and I can't do it. There's something about, you know, the I don't know, there's just something about the right hand. For me, the right hand of the picking hand, you know, I just can't get it in sync. Then again, I don't practice it. That's why I wonder, because I wonder how long people have to. But I also understand the fact that you've been doing it so long.
Right.
Now
it's weird. I don't know. I'm a freak of nature. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's fucking cool, though. You know what I mean? Because I can't say this about any other kind of music personally, but in hard rock, when you get into heavy metal and thrash and stuff like that, the rhythm to me is the nuts and bolts of the music.
Oh yeah. Well, it's funny because I think I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Same exact subject. Like, seems like it's almost taken for granted too, though. Like you don't, people don't talk about, oh yeah, the rhythm guitar player, the rhythm of metal, death metal. Right. It's just expected because it is. That's what gets everybody rolling around and bashing skulls in the pit, you know.
Yeah.
The rhythm. I mean, the rhythm starts it, and it's like the freight train. That's what gets it going, you know. And if there wasn't a rhythm, if there was no rhythm guitar at all, it would not be the music. There's no music.
Right,
you're not
right.
Gonna have just drums and a singer and a bass right. player.
Right, it's typically the lead guy and the vocalist are the two that get the, you know, the most attention in that. But people don't realize how valuable, you know, your position in the band is. Really, it's the most important position, in my opinion, when it comes to the style of music that you're doing. So. I wish I could do those kinds of rhythms. I can't. I just can't do it. It's just not in
me. Maybe I can show you one day.
Yeah. You're in Florida, right?
Yeah. Well, right now I'm in Texas because we're on tour, but I live in the Tampa area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, I looked at your tour schedule. It looks brutal.
We got a lot going on right now, for sure, you know. This is we just finished South America and now we're on this US run, and it's the beginning of it all because we got the new album coming out next month, or January. It's not quite December yet, but and we just filled up all next year, you know, so we're gonna pound it hard. I mean, this COVID thing, you know, like we didn't do anything, so time to get back in and get it going.
But it's good that, you know, that you have the amount of dates that you do, because there's still people coming out of COVID that, you know, can't get that much work yet still, you know, they're working, right. But it's not like it was before. And I looked at your schedule just for November and December, you know, going into the new year. And it's like every day, every other day, you guys are playing. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's cool that you get to tour the U.S. because, you know, it feels to me like, you know, metal bands and hard rock bands and that don't get the notoriety, don't get the opportunities in the U.S., you know, as much as they have in South America and Europe and other places around the world, you know?
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah.
How come there's no here?
I don't know. It's weird. Europe's got it going on, you know?
That's fucked up.
I know. I've always thought that too. Like, why don't we have? We're such a huge country. I mean, basically, you know, our country is about the size of Europe in general. You know, like the same. You know, there's a little more people in Europe, maybe close to double, maybe, but the area is the same. You know, why can't we have like festivals throughout the country? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really strange.
It is weird because, you know, the U.S. was the country that pretty much started that. You know, yeah. We used to have huge festivals back in the 70s and right. You know, stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, now there's nothing, you know.
It's strange. I mean, we got the Maryland Death Fest, but, you know, it's not that huge. But there's, yeah, it's I've always been mind-boggled by that, you know. Yeah.
And why do you think it is that the European metal bands don't come over here, can't come over here? You know, they don't come over that often or very often. I talked to several of them, and they're like, yeah, we just don't tour the U.S.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I mean, a lot of it, I think, has to do with bureaucracy, you know, logistics, all that kind of stuff, like the work visas they got to get, just a pain in the butt, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Like, whatever. What are you going to do? You know, come over once a decade, once every 5 years, maybe, you know?
Right.
It sucks for them.
Yeah. Well, I know part of it comes down to cost, too, you know, because nowadays everything's so crazy. So are you guys touring? Are you touring with analog gear today, or are you one of those people that have gone to the Kemper and Fractal and things like that?
No, myself, I got a JCM 800, you got a 50 and 100 watt in my rig. I got this killer Rode case made where I can stack two amps, two Marshalls are in there. I got a big 6-inch drawer on the top for all my cabling and stuff, my foot pedals. It's all right there. It's perfect. And just the face and the back come off. And I roll up next to it on either side, two single cabinets. So basically, I have two half-stack rigs set up.
Yeah.
And it's just redundancy. I've got an A and a B rig in case my A rig, something goes bad. Boom. I can just switch it to the B rig. It's all mic'd up. And so I'm just playing through a half-stack. But I've got two sets of my pedals as well. That way, if a cable goes bad or a pedal shits the bed, I got redundancy. So all analog for me. Kenny uses a Kemper, by the guitar player. But I fooled with it one time. It's a great little thing. In fact, I'd like to have one at home just to have, you know, because it's kind of a cool piece of equipment. Yeah. But like the attack for me is so weird. Like because a Marshall or tubes. When you attack, you go way. I can go, you know, like the volume, there's nuances. The Kemper's like, it's like all just tight as fish ass, and I don't like playing that. Right. I'm a little open.
Right.
It's a little too tight for me. It seems like there's a gate on it. It's like, you know, on or off, you know? It's like, as opposed to, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to write those in words, but that sound, but you know, it's a weird threshold going on. So, analog, I've got, you know, like I said, the 800s are like, I've got a couple that are newer. I've got a few that are back from the 80s, you know, and I think I got six of them total. I've got four on the road with me, two in a case under the bus in case something goes bad. I got two backups, and then I got two on stage at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't go wrong with an 800 by any means. And that it's cool to see people though still playing analog gear, because, you know, like for instance, I did a show this weekend in St. Louis, and I'm like you, you know, I use analog gear and I have an AB rig, and, you know, we got regular monitors, and, you know, cause I want noise on stage, you know, I want to hear it. I want to feel it. And that, and then the band that played, with us that was on the same bill, they had all in ears, no amps on stage, nothing like that. And it felt sterile. It just didn't feel it.
Oh, it's weird. We were on tour with a band a few years back, Creator actually, and they all went Kemper, and literally there was no speakers on stage. They had inner ears, just like he said, Kempers, no cabinets, I mean, when you're sitting there on the side of the stage, all you could hear was drums. It's all on stage, drums. Even the bass player, like they all had Kemper. I'm like, wow, this is really odd. I mean, like you said, I want my balls to shake when you hit the chord, you know?
Right.
I mean, in fact, there's been times where like, you know, you get a really good monitor system. You know, the sound of my guitar is like, sounds like a Kodiak bear or some shit growling. And like, you hit the chord and I've had it where it's like 108 decibels coming out of the monitors, you know? And they're like, man, you're out of your mind. I'm like, feel it. Whoa. And they're like, oh my God, that's sick. I'm like, yeah. I want to be like the fan out there. I want to feel it like the fans feel it. Like, it's in your face.
Right. I agree with that. I love the old school way, but you know, I mean, I get it. I mean, like I said, I know guys that tour around the world and, you know, just taking a Fractal or a Kemper and a guitar is much easier than, you know, having to house, you know, gear in Europe and house gear in South America or,
you know. That's what's funny too about, you say South America, like many times I've experienced, you go down there and I'm like, oh, my equipment rider, I'm like, my specs, I'm like, I can use I use 800, 1500, and I'm like, I could JCM a 2000. I'll take one of those because I can dial it in. And I'm like, absolutely no 900s. They're boat anchors for my sound.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people use them, but for what I do, I cannot dial it in with that thing. And a lot of times in South America, it's a 900. They give you a 900. I'm like, and then so ever since then, I was like, this is years ago. I put in big bold red letters. No 900s, please. I mean, I can use a damn PV 5150 and a 6505. I can use those, and even I can dial it in with those.
Right.
So, man, JCM 900 is the weirdest. So, but to make the story, a long story short, I always thought, well, you know what? I could take a Kemper and get away with it in South America if I had to. You know what I mean? Because, but actually, before this tour, because I was like, I didn't have a Kemper or nothing. So, I bought these little micro pedals. I forget the company's called, I think Moore, I think they're called Moore or something like that. So I think it's a Chinese company. Little tiny micro, little 30 watt amplifiers, this big.
Yeah.
And then a little pedal that has like all these different settings. I swear, I was at my house. This is funny. In my kitchen, actually, I had a Marshall cabinet sitting there and plugged in this little thing and that little amp and the little preamp, and I put my pedals before it, you know, my little set of pedals I use a Proco Rat. I got a tuner and a Boss tuner and a Boss NS2 noise suppressor. Anyway, I put that in front of it, plugged it into my speaker cabinet, and I could not believe the sound that came out. I was like, holy hell, it sounded like my Marshall. I mean, it didn't quite have as much balls, but I was like,
yeah,
I can get away with that right there and pull it off live. You know what I mean? Didn't quite have as much bottom end, but it still was the same tone as my guitar. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Little tiny thing. So I had those with me in South America in my backpack just in case. And ironically, this tour, every night they had me a good amp. I was blown away. I was like, well, there was one in Costa Rica. The one was a little off. It needed to be retubed probably. So I still used it. I didn't use the little micro amps, but I did bring those micro amps in my backpack just in case. You can put them in your pocket almost. They're so tiny. I'm like, I couldn't believe it because there's like a little 800 basically copy.
Yeah.
The preamp. It had like 16 different preamps, I think. I can't remember, 20. And I was totally surprised how it sounded.
Yeah. I actually ended up buying a Quilter 200 tone block in that because of that. It's just a backup, but it only weighs 3 pounds. You know, it's only like big and
right.
3 pounds. You could put it in a backpack, and then if your head goes out, you know, you got something. You know, I got something that can knob and stuff. It's amazing the stuff that's being made today that you can do that with. Well, that's cool. You know, I really like the new album a lot. You know, I love your guys' sound, and you know, I'm impressed with your history. You know, I hats off to anybody that can be in this industry for that long and still be kicking it, you know.
Appreciate it.
You know, that's really cool.
It was funny because it, you know, you look at time and how long it is, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but I guess it has. You know, I mean,
yeah, I keep saying it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, like Donald and I, like I said, we first started jamming together. It was like 1984 or something.
Yeah,
we're talking what, almost 40 years.
Yeah,
in a couple of years, a year and a half from now, I'm like, wow, really? Holy hell! It's like a lifetime.
It is a life.
I mean, I've been friends with these dudes longer than I have, you know, like family members, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know, that within itself has got to be really cool. That's something I've never experienced. If you think of, you know, hanging out with friends from that era of your life and still being in the same band with them, you know, decades later. I mean,
it's crazy.
So friggin' cool, because, you know, most people can't keep a friend that long, let alone band members.
Right. It's pretty crazy. No, it's nuts. It's like I said, it's hard to believe it's been that long, you know.
Yeah, well, hats off to you, man. I tell you what, Trevor, I appreciate, you know, the conversation and the time, and I wish you all the success on your tour and with the new album that's about to come out. I really do.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, now go get some rest and have a good show.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, Jamie. All right. Bye. Thank you, man.